Morning, Samach Chesem and Aleph. Three lines from the bottom. Goof up.
So we quoted before.
Amar Rebbe. Ba'as ha'nizonis minu'achin. So we have a Yesoima who's being supported by the brothers. Now they're marrying her off. Nutella's Easter Nechos. So she takes one-tenth of the property as her Nadunya. Amalot the Rebbe. So the Brisa continues and it says that they said to Rebbe, the Talmidim said to Rebbe, the Borecho, Mishiyesh lo Esther Bonus, Uben, if he has 10 daughters and one son, Elo the Ben, Ramokim Bonus Klum, so each daughter will take 1/10, and the son's left with nothing. Amalahen, so the Rebbe said back to them, Kach and the Yerma, this is what I hold. Rishon and Nutella's Isur Nechasin. The first daughter who's marrying off, that's what we're going to assume right now, gets 1/10. Shnia, Bebasha Shaira, the second one gets 1/10 of what remains. Ushlishi is Bebasha Shaira. And the third one gets 1/10 of what remains again. And then v'chazus v'cholkus b'shofar. So after having done that, so we don't. It's not fair that we should give the first daughter more than the other daughters. So afterwards, they have to. They take the portions together, and they divide it equally amongst them. So say, for argument's sake, if you would have $100, so the first daughter gets $10. The second daughter gets $9 because she takes 1/10 of the 100, so now there's only 90 left. So she gets 1/10 of 90. Now there's only 81 left. The next one gets $8.10. So then you add it all together, right? And you have $27.10, and they divide it equally amongst the three of them. Okay. Then the Morris says
I Rashi before I end up saying
so Kalkada Bakada the Napsha Shokal, the Morris says how can that be? Once they took it, each one took something which is rightfully theirs. They took 1/10 of the property which they're supposed to get. So why do they afterwards? How afterwards do we have a power to take it away from them and divide it amongst other sisters? So more answers. The Brisa means the following: Imbo kulam hinose ka'achas cholkos b'shava. If they're marrying at the same time, so we don't say each one. Even in that situation. So we could argue in that situation that each one of the, right now has a schus to 1/10 of the property as is, which would then leave the son in that situation with nothing. So you say no, even in that situation we calculate it as if the one went before the other, but since they're all marrying at the same time, we then pool it together and divide it amongst the ones who are marrying.
Since what's that all happening at the same time?
Getting married, yeah. So the Morris is Messiah Lilla of Masna, the word of Masna. In Bola, he knows the Kulam Ka'akas. Nertless Iser Echod. If they all come to marry at the same time, they get one tenth. The Morris says 1/10, Sokhotaitoch, Iser Echod, Sokhotaitoch. Ella Nertless Iser Ke'echod. So they take their tenths as one unit, and then they divide it amongst them. And that's what we're saying right now. So Rashi, bottom Rashi. So he says the Rishona, the first one, because the Chodayin Habo the Rishona Linoser. We're talking about a case where they married one after the other. So they're married one after the other. So the first one takes 1/10, the second one takes 1/10 of the remainder, etc. And then they divide it equally amongst themselves. The Gemara says, how could that be? Kochad, the Bechad, the Nafsha Shokla, Taprashi and Rabbeis. Each one took what's rightfully hers at the time. Okay. Achavim tiknu lahen nidunyus nesuin isinachotim. They're getting what's rightfully theirs because the chamer masakin that for the nidunyin they get a tenth of the property of the father. Therefore, Hanisei's Mishan, each one as they get married earlier, Zachsa Beisur Shiba Fanel, she gets 1/10 of what's there. Valoma Yachsu Bechalku Isureyan Shuv Beshaba. Why do they have to go back afterwards and divide it amongst themselves into equal portions? What right do the later daughters have to take away what the earlier daughters got? Some words says you're right. But Imbo Kulam Linose Ka'achas. What we're saying is, if they all marry at one time, this is what we do. Okay, chayzus v'cholkus isureyan b'shava. So then we divide it all equally. Shein kan kedemis l'schus. Nobody has an earlier right in this situation. All marrying at the same time. So we could have said, so then each one gets 1/10 of all of the total property. But if you do that, so hilcha b'shil haroy li shoyer lifnei haben, in order that we should leave something to the child, to the son, so we give all 10 daughters 1/10 apiece, the son has nothing, so we're not going to do that. So nerdlus ha'achas iser, so we say that one of them takes 1/10, v'ashdiya iser b'mash ha'shayiru, the next one gets 1/10 of the remainder, v'chein kulam, v'hamoyser l'ben, and then the remainder goes to the son. But since they all married at one time, that this is just a way to calculate the amount that they're getting. But they're not actually going to get that amount because there's no right to one more than the other, so they're going to divide it equally. For example, if they had 100 mana, ha'achas nitelas eser manim, number one of them will take 10, v'shniya tesha, v'shlishis shmoina mana v'iser shamana, will get 8 mana plus a tenth of a mana, 8.1. V'chein kulam k'chei lebar rushes aben, and they do this as a way to calculate how much the son's going to keep. But then, meanwhile, v'chein chayzrus v'cholkus isureyan b'shava. Then each they pull it together, they divide it equally. Okay. Tosfos points out over here that the reason why we feel that when the Mor asks a question, each one has received their amount rightfully so. Well, why don't we argue that just because she got married earlier, why is that rightfully so? So Tosfos says because what we're trying to approximate is what the father might have done. And the father, in general, that's what he would do, is he would marry off the first daughter and give her a tenth of what he has, not withholding due to the fact that there are later daughters, and sort of relying on that at that point in time, hopefully he'll have more. But each one has that right at that point in time. Okay. Turn around. So the Gemara Habonis, Bein Bogru Achelo Nisu, Bein Nisu Achelo Bogru, whether they reach the state of Bagris or Nisuin, Ibdu Mezerner Seyen, Ibdu Parnasosin. So they don't have a right to get Mezernes anymore. But this right to get the Dunya, that they still maintain. Tiber Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon Elozar and Raf Ibdu Parnasosin. They also lose So if one of the daughters had been nisais and then got divorced, and then she's coming back into the family and then remarrying her, she would have no right to get to this mezunya again. Okay.
Or if she's begaris.
Huh? Or begaris, I'm saying. But then, Ketzer Hinosis. So what do we do that to guarantee the girls their nezunya? Serfus lehen bailim umoitzian lehen parnasasim. So we hire somebody. We convince somebody to marry her when she's still a nara, and therefore they're able to receive their parnasa, their nezunya. Amar Nachman, Amar Li Huna, Hilchos HaKib Rebbe. Nachman said that Rav Huna said to me, the law was like Rebbe, that even after Bagris, she does not lose her right to get the Nidunya. Eisei Rabbi Rav Nachman. Rashi says, Yisoyma, Shehi Elsa Ima, no, our Mishnah. But the Mishnah says, Yisoyma, Shehi Si Elsa Ima, Eacheha, Midato. So she's been married off by her mother and her brothers, and she was agreeable to it. And they wrote this minimal amount as the dunya. So when she gets older and realizes what had happened, she's able to get her proper amount. So the Mishnah's case was time of the katana. Now that which the mother and the brothers have a right to power to marry her off is chachamim gave it. Minarais, only a father can marry off his daughter when she's a katana. But the father dies, the chachamim were misakin that the mother and the brothers have the power to marry her off when she's a katana, to make sure that she has somebody who will be her protection. So the Mishnah discussed the case where the mother or the brothers married her off. That's referring to marrying her off as a katana. Right? It would sound like Hagadaylo, if she had been a Gadaylo, Vitra, if she... At the girl at the age of 12 who married herself off, and she agreed to this amount, she's a gedola, and therefore that's considered a valid vitur. It's a valid mechila. So the so now Shimon Lozer said that if she became a begaris or she got married, she has lost her rights to get any in the dunya subsequently. So Rob is saying that in a case when that happened, when she's a katana, that's not logical, that she has no power to be moichel, that she should lose her rights because of it. When it happened, Shimon Lozer's argument that it happened when she's a gdola, she's a nara, the fact that she accepted to get married and accepted this amount gives her the power to lose her rights going forward. And that's what you see from our Mishnah, that a girl who's a nara, the actions that she does are binding upon her. So Morris says, Lokasha, Hodam Machoi, Hodula Machoi. It depends if that at the time of when she was Nisais, if she didn't receive the full amount and she wasn't moicha, so That's it. It's a valid vitur. Rebbe said that Nisei, she doesn't lose her rights. It's only a case where she was Meicha. The Mora says, and that would be logical. Nimkein, Kasha the Rebbe, other Rebbe. Otherwise, if that's not true, we're going to have a steer in Rebbe. Tanya Rebbe, Amr, Basin, Nisanus, Minachin, Nutelis, Isun, Chosim. Nisanus in, Shenan, Nisanus, Loy. It sounds like she only has a right. She's still receiving Mizonis. Well, Begeris doesn't get Mizonis anymore, and the Sua doesn't get Mizonis anymore. So we see that she loses. We have a case where the Brisa we just quoted says, Ibdu Mizonisain, and will either Parnasosin. We have Rebbe saying the only time she has a right to get her Nadunya is when she's still Mizonis. So the case of the Brisa over here is an impossibility. You can't have a case where she loses her Mizonis, but doesn't lose her Nadunya, because as soon as she loses the Mizonis, she has no right to Nadunya anymore. So how do we let those two things fit? The answer is that that Mina Stam, she only has a right as long as she's still being Nizonis, but if at the time of the she loses her Nizonis, they give her an adunya, and she's meicha. That's not the right amount. She will have a right to get the full amount. Okay. So Krashi. Even the mezonis say it. Shekach kasev lehem. So why did she lose mezonis at that point in time? Because in the commitment that the Baal makes in the Ksuba, which is one of the Tanai Ksuba, so if they would write it, like we had before, they write, until they become Bargris, he's committing to the Mizonis until they become Bargris, or until they are taken to their husbands, the Suin. But the Suus, so that's a loch of Mizonis. But it doesn't affect her right to the Nadunya. Comes along, Mishum. And it affects her right to the Nadunya. Rebbe says, Shimon Elozer says, no, after the Pranasasin, Isha Nechasin, the right to get a tenth of the property for the Nadunya. The Ksaber, Reb Shimon Elozer holds, Latikin lo Nadunya, Alhecha the Minsuma Bekatnus, Ibnaris. So number one, the right to get in the dunya is only if she's a Katana or a Nara. Abu Bagra Istakala Mahi Besa Lagamri. Okay. If she became a Begaris, she's no longer the family is no longer responsible for her needs. Okay. Now Bekain Nises Benaris. She became a Nesua. Hoyle v'gedolihi v'nisratzis idem parnasosa. So whatever amount that she will accept, that's she doesn't. She has no rights to get this tikkana of isha nechasin. So whatever amount that she agreed to, if she agreed to get nothing, that's it. She loses her rights to get anything more. Elamasha pasku. She only gets. She doesn't get the full half of the nechassim, she only gets whatever they made up. But even Shimon Elozer agrees that that's only true if she's a Nara and her actions are binding. If she agrees to take a certain amount, that's it. But if she's a Ketana, her actions are not binding. So well, she can't say she was Meichel more. She has no power to be Meichel more. So then she does get a full amount. So what do we do? Circus them, buy them. She's a son actually Yivguru. So go out and make sure they get married before the Bagris. If you have to pay a little bit for that, you should do so. And they will make sure they collect the full amounts of the Nadunya. So Rabbi said in the Mishnah, if she married, off by the mother or the brothers, midaito, when she becomes a gedola afterwards, she can get back what she's supposed to get. Sounds like had she been a gedola at the time of the marriage, kegonara, ha gedola, is vitra, a machla al ashar, vibatoi. So her mechila is in Bala Mechila, and she loses the rights to everything more. Alma Sosil Montana, Kribisham and Lazar. So you have a Stam, our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, like Yishma ben Elazar, that only a Katana who has accepted this amount has a right to go get back and get more. But a Gdala who accepted that amount, it's done with. So our answer is Hoda Mechoy. Hoda Merebi lo Ibdu. That which Rabbi said, the locha is that she doesn't lose her rights to the dunya, even if she accepted a smaller amount. And Rabbi Huna passes like Rabbi. She was moicha. That which we're inferring from the Mishnah, that had she been a gedola, she would lose her rights to get the remainder, is b'shaloi mikso. If she did not make a mecho at the time of the marriage. So the Moriah says, that's mistarba, that's pshat in Rebbe, because we have Rebbe says that a daughter who's nizarnis in, iboli noseh b'oida nizarnis, if she's getting married when she's still receiving mizonis, the hainu bekatnas or benaris, which ends when she becomes a begaris, then she gets this amount. Otherwise, not. Okay. Okay. Ravina said to Rava. Ravina said to Rava. Amal Ravada Barava Mishmecha. That Ravina said that Ravada Barava said in the name of Rava. And now he's asking Rava to verify that. Sabagra Enesher Limchis. That Rebbe's din. Just becoming a begaris, she has no need to, when she becomes a begaris, to make this announcement that she's not losing her rights to the parnosa. And this says enetzirch alimchus. And b'shas nesuin, if they gave her a lesser amount, she has no need to be moicha. She still has a right to her the full amount. But Bagra benisays tzricha limchais. But if you have the combination of the she's a begaris already, and she's by, at the time of the suwan they give her a lesser amount, if she's not, if she needs to be moicha, and if she doesn't protest, then she will lose her rights to receive more. So where it says, "Miyamar Rabba Hachi," did Rabba say? Can it be that Rabba said what we just said? B'ha Esay, we just quoted before that Rabba asked Rav Nachman Yosema from our Mishnah. Mishani le, hadam machi, hadale machi. So we're talking about a case of a nara. We're medak in the Mishnah case where she's a gedola, i.e., she's a nara. That. She will lose if she doesn't make a mechua at the time of the nesuin. She loses her rights to get more. So we see even a case of a nara needs to be mechua. Not only a begaris needs to be mechua. So we have a kasha on this statement now of Rava from that which we had before in the conversation of Rava before. Okay. So my answer is Lo Kasha. No, I can tell you that there is a difference in the case of a Nara which needs to be Meicha, And that's the discussion which we had before. And I can give you a case of a Nara which does not need to be Marcha, but gets her rights anyway, which is what we're discussing right now. What is the difference? Hadakam misanominayu. Hadalakam misanominayu. That she is she receiving mizonos from the family or not? Rashi says it's referring to receiving mizonos after the nesuin. So if she's receiving mizonos after the nesuin, she's scared to be moicha because she's afraid she will lose her right to mizonos. But a case where that's not so, there's nothing stopping her from being moicha. And therefore, if she's not moicha, we assume that she was moicha. Okay.
We assume she was mochel.
Mochelus, yeah.
Mochelus.
So, Krashi. Rabbi is saying a case of a Nara does not need to be Moicha, because even if she's not Moicha, she still has a right to the full Parnasa. Zemura says it's a Kasha, Mashani Le, because Rabbi said before, Hadatani Gdaila Vitra, a girl who got married as a Gdaila, Ayya Nara, she is Mavater, she is Moicha, but Aloy Machoi. If she wasn't, she's in protest. Alma niseis benaris. V'loy michasa. If she got married during naris, and she did not protest, al b'she'ena begaris, even though she's not a begaris yet, is vitra. So that mechila works. But va'at amarta, you're saying, niseis enesichol nimchas afilo nara. The case of a girl who's a nara who's getting niseis, if they're giving her the lesser amount, even though she's not moicha, she still gets her full rights. So more answer like this: Hoda Marava Niseis Benaris Enesichal Nimchos. That when she gets married as a nara, she does not need to be moicha. Kven to come Misa No Minayu La'Acha She Niseis. That's continuing to support her after the Nesuin. The Mishum to come Misa No Minayu. She's keeping quiet because she's scared to endanger her support. But however, we don't interpret her fact that she's quiet is acquiescing to their giving her the incorrect amounts. That which we said before, Hagadala Vitra, that when she's a Gadala, i.e. a Nara, and she receives a smaller amount, and if she doesn't make a mechua, she's moichel. It's delaika misano. She's not getting supported from them, and therefore there's nothing stopping her from being moicha. And if she's not moicha, so she loses the rights to get more. Okay. Ravuna quotes that Rebbe said, "Parnasa ena k'knai k'suva." The schus to get in the dunya doesn't have the same power as the t'nai k'suva. That which they have a right to get mezonos. Versus my ena k'knai k'suva. What does that mean? It's not k'knai k'suva. Inema, if you say that it means Dila Parnosa Tarpam Mishapti, Loy Tarpam Mishapti. So it means to the advantage of the Parnosa, that Parnosa is the right that she gets, that property which the brothers have put into a state of Shibut, she doesn't lose her rights to pranasa from them. But mezonos, we know that that's not so, because we create a situation where the it would be impossible for people to interact, to do any type of interaction with the brothers for mezonos, because mezonos is not a set amount, it's an ongoing issue, whereas pranos is a set amount, and people would have the ability to be aware of the fact and make conscious decisions how much to buy from them, etc. And if they chose not to, that's their loss. Whereas mezonos, Chazal said we can't do that, because there's no way to know what that how much is going to end up being. So therefore, they're not, mezonos is not, does not collect from a shabbat. And where says my kamash? Well, if that's the chiddush, hamayzim b'chayyim mitzilim the pranotzav and mitzilim mezonos. I mean, that fact, we see it happening all the time. Tosha says, like, that's not a fair question, because maybe the reason why that's what's happening is because we pass on like Rebbe. And Rebbe, one day, established this halacha, and therefore that's what's been happening. He said, well, what's the chiddush? Rebbe told me that halacha. We know, we see what happens. You know, it's because of Rebbe. So Tosha says that Rav Huna's talking, who's well after the time of Rebbe, and come along and saying, wow, you know, Rebbe said this Bechiddush, like, it's not a Bechiddush, it's an established fact, if that's the point that he's saying. Ella Moore says, what does it mean? Dila pranosa gavi nami mimetautali. Tonight, suba mimakarka gavya mimetautali gavya. So we should argue, like we discussed before, that the ikar skus of the ksuva, tonight ksuva has the same status as the ksuva. Ksuva does not collect from a taltlin, only collects from a karka. Medina the Gemara, Tekanos the Gadim, the ksuva collects from a taltlin also. The Gadim, you know, Kleistel lived in a world where owning karka wasn't necessarily so easy. People were constantly on the run. So, Chazal, the garden were misakin, that ksuba can be collected from metaltalim. But we did it the Gemara, ksuba was collected only from karka. And you have a rule that any tekana which Chazal made, and they put it as part of tonight ksuba is kiksuba. So if the ksuba does not collect from metaltalim, neither does tonight ksuba. But however, it's someone from the brothers itself, not from, you know, what they've sold. Whereas Pranosa was a separate tekana, and that doesn't have that limitation, the collection of metaltalin. Mar says that would be a nice chilik, but the problem is the Rebbe, either Migri Gavya, that Rebbe holds that Mizonis does collect from metaltalin. The Tanya. Echad nechazim sheesh demakrayis, echad nechazim sheen demakrayis, mitzian lemazan yishur belabonis. Diber Rebbe, Rebbe happens to argue on that halacha. Rebbe happens to hold that by mezonos, we do collect from metaltalim. So you're saying that pranosa is not like the tanaik suba of mezonos. In what way are they different? Alamai pranosa enoket tanaik suba. In what way is Rebbe saying that the pranosa, the dunya, is not the same as tanaik suba? The Chidatanya. However, al yezaynu benoisav minachosav ein shaymenloy. A person declares that before he dies that the daughters will have no right to receive mezonos from his property. Ein shaymenloy. The father is not authorized to take away that right. That's part of tanaik suba. And the fact that he says it means nothing. Okay. But however, Al Yisparnasu Benoisu Minachosu Shaiman Loy Shaparnosa Eino Kiknaik Suva. So Tanaik Suva was part of the Shibudim that he accepted when he married. So coming and saying he doesn't want to do it is like it's a Shibud which exists already. So they can't take that away. Parnosa was not part of the Tanaik Suva. But rather, it's an assumption that this is what the father wants, and therefore the Chamim will come along and take from the property to give to the daughters, assuming that this is really what the father would have wanted to have happened with his property. Therefore, we feel it's incumbent upon the children, the sons, to fulfill that. But if the father has indicated he does not want that, so there's no obligation on the son to provide that. Okay, Sirashi. Parnosa is Nadunya. It's not like Tanak Suba, Mazana Shabbas, Kiritnan, Nanukvan, Lebachiminoi, like we had before, that the father is part of the Tanak Suba, whether it's written or not, is that the daughters will be received Mazanas. See, if you're telling me that means to the advantage of Nadunya, how so? That the dunya collects me mishabdi, sheshibdu achin below sheshibdu ha'av. Talking about properties which the brothers had sold after the father had died. That which the father sold before he died, that Pernas also doesn't collect from, but things which after the father died, the brothers did business transactions, they sold those properties. Her rights to Parnosa allows her to go collect on those properties. Mimazoinas, Lotarfa Mimishabdi, Philoshibdu Aachen, even the properties which the brothers have sold, the Tanan, Amen, Achilles, Paris, Lashwach, Karkos, Lamazan, Ishababonis, Minachos, Mishubonim, Midei Tikan Arlem. So the Mishnah says that when they're in Gittin, there are certain things which would become very, very difficult to keep a track of and calculate. So Tikkun Olam requires that they cannot collect from Mishubanim properties which has been sold. And the woman comes along and says, well, I need my Mizonis. So that's an ongoing amount. We don't know how much it is. It's hard to keep track of how much it's going to be. So the person who bought the field cannot protect himself against this type of argument, whereas a person who buys a field can protect if he knows that there's other types of responsibilities, and the seller can calculate what those responsibilities are. And when he buys properties, make sure that the seller leaves over enough, retains enough to fulfill his obligations. And if the purchaser doesn't do so that's his own negligence. But over here, the purchaser has no way to calculate how much the seller's obligations are because they're ongoing. So therefore, he has no way to protect himself against the possibility in the future of saying that there's not enough property. So Chazar Masakin, that they can't collect from Mishabotim. Zimla Mikra, then they should. Chazar Masakin, not. So he gives a few cases. Cases, Mosin Isha is one case. Well, another one is the bonus. Now, the first two cases are Achilles Paris and the Shrachar Kos. If a person has multiple sales, so not a case of somebody, you know, Mazonis dying, etc. A person is dealing with his own properties. So he has loans and he has properties. So he has loans totaling $100,000, and he has properties totaling $1 million. So Mr. A comes and buys a property worth $100,000. So he's left over enough properties that the chayv has to come to be collected. Everything is fine, etc. So then the second person buys, and again each person leaving over enough, right? Okay. So now, if in one of these earlier purchasers says I left over plenty of properties, well, meanwhile the chayvus became larger, and eventually one of the properties had to be collected. Now, so the Baal Chayv collects that property, but the person who bought the property with a chayvus. So he says, okay, he goes back to the seller, which is our Reuven over here. It says, well, your Baal Chayv became a collector for me. I need to get reimbursed. He says, well, I have money to reimburse you. Great. You know, I don't have any money to reimburse you. Okay. So what is supposed to happen to me? Well, meanwhile, I sold some of the properties that I still owns. When you had bought your property, so he has a right to go collect from the later properties. If something happens to his field, he has a right to go collect from the later properties. If that field was collected, the argument was that field was either collected because of a chayv or collected because it was stolen, etc. He says, yeah, but you know, that field, I put money into the field. And I put a lot of money into the field. I built a building there. So I wanted to be reimbursed for my costs of my building. And there was payers. There was different things which the field was producing which were taken away from me. So I want to be reimbursed for that also. So that's called being reimbursed for the chilas payers and the shvach karkos. So he has a right, part of a chrayis, when a person sells a field by chrayis, Reuben sells a field to Shimon by chrayis. If something happens in the field, Reuben will reimburse Shimon. The reimbursement also includes shvach and payers. But that right doesn't give Shimon a right to collect from other properties which have been sold, because again, it's not measurable. So the later purchasers can't protect himself against. So it turns out that the field which he sold to Shimon was a stolen field. So it comes along the Bialim and proves that this was a disputed field. He's able to finally prove that really didn't belong to Reuven. So he takes it away from Shimon. So Shimon goes back to Reuven, you sold me a field which wasn't yours. And meanwhile, I suck $1 million into the field. So I don't have $1 million. Yeah, but you had other properties when I bought it. I want to go collect on those properties. But you can't do that to the later purchasers because they have no way to know to protect themselves against that amount. So in Tikkun Olam, they can't go and collect from the later purchasers. So, but meanwhile, from Moz and Ishabonis, you can't collect from the later purchasers from Shabonim. Aparnasosa, Tarfa. But we're arguing that when it comes to the right, the schus of the dunya, she could collect from the later purchasers. The Shavira Bonin, Kabalkoiv, Bisunachosim, Mishmeso Ab. The daughter gets a right to get 1/10 of the property. The Dover Katsubu to set him out. So the purchasers can protect themselves. Don't buy beyond that amount. Mazonis ain't lem kitzur. Mazonis is something which is limitless. We don't know exactly how much it'll be, and therefore the people can't really protect themselves against it. But this they could. So if they didn't, that's their fault. So that's the chiddush of Rav Huna. So Mora says that's the chiddush. It happens all the time. We collect from these things. We see it happening all the time. So what's Ravuna's Kiddush? Okay, let's hold it over here.